My mind kind of goes in weird ways when I read the scripture. I read this and thought about that. It's these guys, these Greeks, they're probably Greek Jews from the diaspora. But as we have talked before, the gospel writers usually have a point. They have a theme. It's not just haphazard. They're trying to communicate something. So I think that clearly here John is saying that the world is coming to Jesus, represented by these Greeks, who may be Gentiles, but are probably Greek Jews from the diaspora of the general area, okay? And they come to Philip. And if you remember, in the very beginning of John's Gospel, Philip is one of the first of the disciples to gather with Nathanael and Andrew and Peter. They're the first four that are mentioned in John's Gospel. And they are following Jesus. They're disciples of John the Baptist. And Jesus sees them and basically says, "What do you want?" And they say, "Lord, where do you stay?" So it's like, well, come and see. So this theme of come and see is kind of going through John's Gospel here. But these guys show up, and they go to Philip, and Philip goes to Andrew, and they go to Jesus, and they want to see Jesus. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's a reasonable request. And then Jesus goes into this whole long story, and he never sees them. I'm like, they didn't ask for all of this. They just wanted an audience, you know? It's kind of, they just wanted to talk to you. This is happening right after the raising of John the Baptist, or the raising of Lazarus in chapter 11. So we've had there's different miracles in the Gospel of John, and John is the most theological, probably written, you know, around 90. So Jesus died in 32. A lot of the other Gospels are written. John is the last one written. And clearly, they've had 70 years or more to think about this Jesus guy. So John is communicating this. But it's like they never got to see him. Jesus goes into this whole story about my hour has come. And that's like, okay, fine. But can I get to talk to you? No. Nope. Here's my point. I'm bringing across this point. So they never got to see Jesus. Even though in the beginning, the disciples wanted to see where he stayed, and he said, come and see. So they're seeing, and this whole thing of seeing, and remember in John's Gospel at the very end, it's Thomas, and we call the doubting Thomas, who said, I'm not going to believe until I put my hands in the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and my fingers in his side. And Jesus shows up, and what does he say? Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. But here at this point, and I think it's important for us, and this is the only point that I want to make, is do we here in this church, each of us in our hearts, are we still at a point of saying, I want to see Jesus? I'm curious about who this God is, or I'm not really sure where I am in terms of this, because there's a change here. In Jesus' comments to Andrew and Philip, he says, my hour has come. Now for the Father to glorify his name. So now it's not a matter of seeing Jesus. It's a matter of being with Jesus. From now on, the rubber hits the road. You know, he's had the miracle at Canaan. He's healed the blind man. He's raised Lazarus. And now he's turning his face towards Jerusalem, and he talks about, I am going to die, and where I am, my servant will be. We have come together and examined our conscience, and in a minute, we will come before the Lord to confess our sins and those things that are held up in our heart. Because no more is it all right for us to be curious about Jesus or to want to see Jesus. In bringing our sins before the Lord, we want to be with Him. Where the Master is, there the servant will be as well. So the hour has come. Not to see Him, not to be curious, but to be in relationship. And what keeps us from being in relationship fully with the Lord is our sinfulness. And we looked at the Ten Commandments. We looked at the two that Jesus brings before us. We confess them. And undoubtedly what the Holy Spirit would be is, usually they pop one into your mind. Boop, here it is. This is the one that's standing in the way. And that's the one you bring. You bring with an open heart. You set it on the altar. And you avoid Velcro hands. You know what Velcro hands are? We take it back. We grab it back. Often the times that we are successful in our faith, it's like a Teflon pan. It just shoots off and we forget all about it. But our sins, often we hold on to them like Velcro. No, in God's mercy, let them go. Bring them here. Many of us, myself included, I got Velcro hands for stuff I did 30, 40 years ago. It's like, come on, Randy, let it go. You messed up. You screwed up. You sinned. Welcome to the club. Now let it go. I resent my mother and father because they didn't do exactly what I wanted to do when I was 11. Let it go. I'm angry at people because they unjustly fired me from my job when I was doing a good job and did. Let it go. Just let it go. You know, I've been unfaithful and I've hurt people and I've lied. Let it go. Yeah, I've messed up. But let it go. Bring it before the Lord. Because that is what is going to stand in the way of my being with Jesus versus seeing Jesus. You know, I can see Jim. That doesn't mean that I'm with Jim. That's what I want the transition with us today. From seeing Jesus, from being here, from seeing to being with. Being with assumes the relationship. Seeing does not. Being with. And now is the hour for the Lord to be glorified. To be glorified in each one of our hearts. Because we now come to Him for mercy. May we stand and profess our faith. And then if I could have the commentator do the